Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Growth Matters Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to another show of Growth Matters, where we talk about all things growth. So we have a full house this morning, and we are kind of getting ahead of the next holiday, which is next week, Valentine's Day, the holiday of love. And so we thought it would be fun to bring in some entrepreneurs. They all happen to be women who have businesses that obviously work all around the year, but Valentine's is a time that becomes particularly busy for them, so we'll learn a little bit about how that all works. So we have three businesses here today. We have Cacao Atlanta. They are an amazing chocolate company, very premier, have won a lot of awards. And with us is a co-owner and the COO, Colleen Giroudi.
Yes.
So hello. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And then we have, as I said, we're talking about Valentine's Day, so we've got chocolate and then we've got flowers. And so Gina Bailey is owner and partner with Martin Kemp of Your Floral Matters. And so we have someone to talk a little bit about the floral design business.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Great to have you here. And then we have two women who are owners of Cupcake Indulgers Boutique, Sharita Kimpson and Patricia Williams. And so delectable goodies.
Thanks for having us.
So we're excited to have you all here. And so why don't we just very quickly kind of go around the room, and I like to call it the nickel tour of a little bit about your background and then share a little bit about your business. So I'm going to start with you, Gina. Just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into Your Floral Matters.
All right. Well, very quickly, I was an English major at Spelman College and went into corporate advertising and moved to Chicago to work for a very large firm. And while I was there, I was enchanted with everything floral. I was just really, really drawn to floral arrangements everywhere I went. So I started working for a shop every Saturday, and I did that for 2 years before I really decided to go into it full time. Then once I made that decision, I realized I didn't want to do it in the cold. And now that I'm here in Atlanta, it's cold, but not as cold as Chicago. And so I moved back to Atlanta and worked in various ways as a freelancer, as a full-time employee. And then in 2009, Martin and I started Floral Matters. And so we work hard every day to keep it going.
Okay, great. And so we'll learn a little bit about what that means. But Colleen, why don't you tell us about Cacao?
Sure. Well, my background is very different than chocolate. I studied Middle East foreign policy, so that was my work prior. But I was always in the nonprofit sector. So I moved to Atlanta in 2007, went to a networking event, and met Kristen, who's the founder and CEO. And she had just opened her Inman Park boutique, so it had been a week. And we connected immediately and started to, it was just her and one other employee, Lauren. And we kind of had like a love affair at first sight almost. And we, you know, developed a really beautiful business partnership and then became partners a year later and kind of have grown this very small chocolate boutique into a, you know, little bit of a larger entity. So it's been a very interesting ride.
Great. I love it when people have diverse backgrounds from how you get started and to hear the story of how following your dreams and taking advantage of opportunities can take you in a different direction.
I mean, interestingly, most of our team don't have any background in this. So everyone has come from a very different path. And
But everybody loves chocolate.
Yeah. So we're all aligned for the purpose of giving love.
Yeah. So Sharita and Patricia, tell us a little bit about the cupcake business.
Okay. Well, Patty and I both began as educators. We met about 10 years ago in elementary school in Clayton County. And we hit it off right away. We became fast friends, talking about owning our own businesses one day. Never did we know that, you know, 8 years later, we would decide to do it together. And Patricia has a really had loved cupcakes, and she always wanted to try to do that. And I love food, period. the end. And so we decided that we would do it together. So we opened 2 years ago. Our anniversary is on the 12th, so it's coming up. We're excited. We're doing great things for that. And so we're here.
Yeah. So, Patricia, tell us a little bit about your background.
Like Sharita stated, we met in the school system. I always was into crafts, so I've tried different things. I did want to... I always had hobbies where I'm working with my hands. I love food, like Sharita, but I didn't really think about baking until we just, I guess, kind of just started out the blue. Was, you know, something therapeutic, you know, from coming home from a long day. And Sharita started baking as well, and, you know, we shared recipes and things and fine-tuned it, and we started bringing it out to the school and giving it out to teachers, and they were loving the cupcakes that we brought, these little sweets, and they were like, these are delicious. You know, you should really try and start something. And people were pushing us, and we were like, since we wanted to do something anyway, let's try this.
Yeah. So I'm always curious for small businesses. What, you know, you can have an idea and you can love a craft, but what had you know that you could go out there and be an entrepreneur? So Gina, you know, you, as you said, you did a number of different things before you actually opened the shop. What made you and Martin know that that's something that you could do full time on your own?
Well, Martin and I had worked together in several different capacities for 8-9 years already. He was my boss at one point. I was a freelancer for several different types of floral companies, you know, large event companies with huge trucks and loading docks and midnight strikes and that whole thing. So I really felt confident that I knew the business and I knew the logistics and that my passion would keep driving me forward. And because the economy crashed, I was laid off from the company I was with for 5 years. So it was really out of survival that we started the company and kind of had to do it based on just pure survival.
And Colleen, so I've been in your shop, and you all really focus on sort of the science and the business of chocolate. So for our listeners that maybe just love chocolate but don't know a little bit about the process and kind of how you bring that in within your business, talk to us about how cacao does that.
Sure. Well, I mean, the chocolate world is very complex, so we can go into very varying levels of complexity. But we are a bean-to-bar chocolate company, which means that we directly source cocoa beans and import them and grind and roast them and do the whole process in-house. 99% of chocolate businesses out there are chocolatiers, which means that they buy ready-made chocolate and they melt it and they create beautiful creations. So we are both. So we're making the chocolate and then we're using it to create what we create in the store. The production of cacao is very complex. There's a huge science. Kristen is a big nerd, and she, when she goes down to the farm, she's so involved in the, you know, the way that the cacao is cut, the pods are cut from the trees, to how they're fermented, because ultimately all of those things impact how the chocolate will taste in the end. And for us, I mean, the beauty is in the beans and their genetics, and it's very similar to wine, you know, the soil in which it's grown, how it's grown, how it's cut, how it's everything. So, you know, we want the chocolate to taste amazing, but it's really the purity of the raw material, which is of supreme importance. And that quality, so much is tended to on the back end that when, you know, you come into the store and see all these beautiful creations, if you want to learn the story behind it, we are more than happy to share it.
Yeah, how did you decide that, as you said, most times people buy the chocolate versus take it from...
Well, she had a fascination with wanting to go directly to the source. So, you know, like a farmer who will, you know, grow an heirloom tomato and spend, you know, you'll go and spend as a consumer $5. It wasn't good enough to just get the ready-made chocolate. She wanted to take it a step further. And for all of us, you know, I love food as well, you know, like Sharita. So I, you know, very much care about what I buy and what I eat and where I go to eat and how they source their own food. So it was an important, it was sort of part of our mission. And that goes from everything to the fruits we use in our truffles, from local farmers to the milk that we use. I mean, it kind of is a, you know, vertically integrated on all those levels. But the bean is the most important.
I'm curious for Sharita and Patricia, you just, you know, one of you can answer for. So you, in making the decision for cupcakes, certainly you notice that there's trends. Cupcakes are something that's big. What sort of differentiates you from some of the other cupcakeries that are here in Atlanta?
Well, we have, okay. First yeah, thing that differentiates us is we have a drive-thru. So that's very different. No other cupcake bakery that we know of in the city of Atlanta or around surrounding area has a drive-thru.
Why was that important?
Well, it was important because I'm a mom, first of all, and I love drive-thrus. Because I, you know, getting my kids out of the car can be cumbersome sometimes. And so that was really important for us. So when we found that location, we're like, wow, this is really great. We can appeal to, you know, moms and dads who have little kids with them that can, you know, come through quickly. Also, we bake fresh daily in small batches. That's really important. And our cupcakes taste like what we say they taste like. So we're not a vanilla cake with lemon icing. We are a lemon cake with lemon icing. We are a banana cake with banana icing. So it tastes exactly like what we say it tastes like. We use all natural ingredients. As she said, trying our best to go to local farmers and things like that to get fresh fruit and milk and all of that kind of stuff to make sure that we stay natural and as organic as possible.
And in addition to that, we also offer custom toppers. So if you want to do some sort of branding as far as real estate agents, company logos, if you're a bride and for your wedding, you want to do monogram or something similar to either bridal shower invitations, baby shower invitations, we can do actual edible toppers for you. So we do all of those by hand. It takes a great deal of time and hard work. We offer liquor-infused cupcakes on the weekends. So every Friday, Saturday, every month, it's a different flavor. So everyone looks forward to that, and they'll ask, what's the specials for the month? What's the liquor-infused for this weekend? And we get a lot of feedback from our community.
Great. So Gina was very kind. She bought a lovely arrangement here to the studio. So we were talking earlier, and you were saying that sort of the retail florist, like many brick-and-mortar kinds of entities, was challenged, but you decided that you were going to go that way. Well, first, talk to us a little bit about why that challenge was, and then what made you think that you could make it in retail?
Sure. With the internet businesses that really exploded, I think, in the earlier 2000, 2001, what have you, we found a lot of retail florists were going out of business because of Pro Flowers or some other kind of online companies. And really, I think also grocery stores really improved on their floral sections and their floral departments. So that really impacted the traditional mom-and-pop retail store. So when Martin and I first started Floral Matters in 2009, we had a studio space that was tucked away with very little visibility. It was kind of by appointment only. We were focused on mostly corporate work. And we found that we had no visibility, so we had to take a leap and get out there and become a retail shop. And we're glad we did, because we're finding that people are happy to see a retail florist again, because people are disappointed when they get flowers in a box at their doorstep that have been sitting out in the frigid weather or what have you. So we're seeing a resurgence of real boutique specialty services, and I think we can all attest to that.
So, Colleen, you have just recently moved locations. You have multiple locations. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit about some of the either challenges and opportunities and kind of what drove you to some of that expansion.
Sure. Well, being an entrepreneur is not hard enough, having the retail portion, if that's what you're doing, retail is impossible. It's really one of the most challenging and one of the most gratifying experiences all in one, because you learn so much from, you know, your customers. And that is, I mean, if you're just wholesaling chocolate for someone else to sell it, you have no real idea of what truly feedback is, what they, you know, what the brand experience is. So when we opened two stores in 2011, that wasn't the plan. We had been looking in the Virginia Highlands neighborhood, and there was nothing available. So the Buckhead opportunity came to be. We jumped on it, and then, of course, 5 months later, the Virginia Highlands opportunity opened up, and we were like, well, we've already done one build-out. Let's just kill ourselves and do two in 1 year. And then in growing that, that was a major learning experience because that was, you know, probably not how we would have done it looking back. But we were in a 2,000-square-foot factory space at Inman Park and were busting at the seams. So we had Williams-Sonoma as an account for Christmas 3 years ago, and we literally could not even move around. And we took our time looking for, you know, looking for a space, and then finally made the very scary jump to this 8,000-square-foot factory space, which took Kristen and I a very long time to, like, sign those papers. We were very nervous. I mean, you kind of, you know, second guess the choices that you make. But, you know, we're, you know, kind of going forward with the retail and the wholesale model because I think both are important for different reasons.
So what's some of your challenges in bringing up this cupcake? You said 2 years. So how is it the retail, since let's pick up on that, what are some of the biggest challenges you have in making sure that you can continue to be successful?
Retail is big. I mean, it is a big portion of what we do, and it is the most challenging portion of what we do because, you know, daily walk-ins are very crucial to what we have, and sometimes that can be very difficult. Weather plays a part.
Yeah, we all in Atlanta know the weather plays a part.
Yes, weather and traffic play a big part. We're on a busy, busy street, a very through street in Atlanta, Moreland. Millions of people go down Moreland every day. And so that really helps us a lot. Another one of our challenges is, you know, making sure that we're growing more of the wholesale side for us so that we can maintain. So that's really important.
So you said wholesale. Talk to us a little bit about sort of the difference between that and then going to the consumer. I assume that means that you have people that are selling your product?
Yes, okay. We currently do, and we're trying to do more of that so that we can, you know, continue to grow and looking for other retail locations and things like that. So,
yeah, so I'll keep on that idea. So what kinds of things are you looking at to grow? Well, how are you ensuring that if we came back, you know, 5-10 years from now, you're going to be in a different place than where you are today?
We do also, yes, we want to increase wholesale contracts, and eventually we want to open up, you know, multiple locations. We're looking at that at this point, where would be the best location, the best fit for us. So eventually we would like to just have a few more locations and see where it'll take us, you know, throughout the years.
So Gina, as you were talking about some of the disappointment maybe that some people have with 1-800 numbers or maybe even in organizations that really aren't florists, how do you determine what flowers you're going to stock and how do you ensure that you have enough? How do you manage that whole inventory? Because yours is one, I'm sure all of you all are, you know, it perishes pretty quickly. And so how do you have just in time to make sure that you can meet your clients' needs?
Absolutely. Perishables bring a whole, you know, aspect of it that you really have to pay attention to. And so we go with seasonal products, so obviously product that's in season, and there's a lot of product in the floral business that's year-round. We have 5 or 6 different wholesalers that we rely upon, and they get product from all over the world. So we, in terms of the quantities that we have, we really try very hard to not have any waste. We really try to order based on the corporate work we have that week and the orders or the wedding. When we have a wedding, we write very specific recipes. So there's a lot of correlation with food and restaurants and what have you. We really just try to manage, you know, the product that we bring in so we don't have waste. And then we're surprised at the walk-in traffic that we are experiencing. We're right in the heart of Midtown, right at West Peachtree and 14th Street. So we're experiencing people coming over during their lunch hour, and so we're trying to have cool specials and things that they can grab and go and things like that. So that helps with any extra inventory. But really, to have no waste is our goal on a weekly basis.
Yeah, so all of you have partners. I find that to be interesting. And like any relationship, you know, there's different challenges that you have. Colleen, how have you and Kristen ensured that you're on the same page and that you're able to work together and bring both of your strengths to the business?
I mean, we have very different personalities, but we are like the perfect business partnership. We have totally different strengths, and she's like the kind of quintessential CEO, the visionary. You know, she's the risk taker. She makes things happen, and I'm, you know, what has come to be very grounded, very detail-oriented, and very cautious. And I think you kind of need both to run a business successfully, because you can do it with abandon, but, you know, you can make more mistakes that way. And, you know, Kristen and I are also best friends. So, you know, I'm the godmother of her daughter. But we somehow have managed to very successfully separate business and personal. And when it needs to be business, it's business. And, you know, she can be very hard when she needs to be, and I can be as well. But it's sort of like the beauty of life. It's sort of ebbed and flowed. She recently had a baby. So, you know, we kind of take over, excuse me, as needed.
So do you have particular... did you sit down and sort of establish guidelines, or did it just sort of evolve?
No, not at all. Yeah, okay. No. Definitely evolved. We, you know, kind of figured out what my strengths were. Very different than I thought they were going to be. I'm, you know, very much in the numbers. I went to business school, but I was really not great at finance and numbers and accounting, so that's totally what I do, like one facet of what I do. And, you know, we kind of have been going and evolving, you know, every month. I mean, every month it changes, and we try to be better at systematizing, you know, our relationship as by extension, you know, how it filters to our whole team. But it's not easy, you know. It's definitely not as organized as I would love it to be, for sure. But, you know, we've learned a lot, and I think we're really good at learning from our mistakes.
So you all have been friends since... childhood?
No.
No, all kinds.
Since we began teaching together in about 2002.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do you address your partnership and making sure that, as people say, you stay in your lane and yet you are able to address all the facets of, I'm sure, a busy business?
Well, for us, I have kids and Patricia doesn't, so that's a big portion of our partnership is maintaining my balance at home. And Patricia has been like amazing with that, because you know, we have to get them from school and they have activities and the weekend, so we stay very busy. But I don't know if I could have done this without her. I know I could not have done this without her, and she's been amazing. And you know, we are very different in our personalities, and so we really complement each other. I mean, we trust each other. I mean, that's a major facet of being able to own a business together, is the fact that you can be able to trust each other. I've heard so many horror stories of business partners, one taking something. I mean, we don't even have to think about that. I mean, because we just have the best relationship. We know how to argue. We do. And we, but then we know how to come back and lay it all down on the table and put our business first. So we make up very quickly.
Yeah. It's definitely a marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We all agree on that. We kid that this is my second marriage. So my husband does too. He knows that.
Well, I mean, you know, we always say to people that we interview and just our, like, our employees in general, that, you know, working like in cacao, and I think working in general is like a relationship, and you both have to put in 100%. And when you're not, the other person will feel it. And if you're not coming with your full, you know, gusto to work, you know, it will translate, and, you know, you'll build up resentment, and then you'll blow up, or you'll leave, or you'll quit, or something will happen. So that communication piece is so vital, and it really is like a marriage. I mean, I have a ring when we opened our second store that I, you know, almost wear more than my own wedding ring, and my husband is now like very okay with it. But it takes over. I mean, it's your life.
It does, Gina. So Martin, you said at one point you worked for him. So how was making that transition of your partnership in the way that it operates now?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Martin, and, you know, we're polar opposites. We're opposite in every way. And so I think that we make a really good team, because we can bounce things off of each other. And because he was my boss at one point, I think there are some times where I will pick his brain or ask him for budget, you know, guidance or things like that, where I respect the amount of years he has on me in terms of the business. So I have that respect for him. He's very, very talented. And if you had seen our shop during Christmas, it was decorated so beautifully. He can do things with garland and ribbon and bows that I can't do. So I have deep respect for him, and that helps us, you know, exist in the marriage, because we spend a lot of time together. And with that said, though, I want to acknowledge family, because family is so supportive. My mom and my dad and my sister, and you know, family has been really, really crucial to our survival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have that good base. I see all of you nodding your head that it's not just you and the partnership, but it's the other network of people that surround you. You know, I'm a small business owner as well, an entrepreneur. And the thing that I always tell people is it is such a personal growth experience. You learn a lot about yourself. And so for the listeners, all of our guests shook their head yes when I said that. So what's something that is sort of your North Star, that thing that keeps you grounded, that you have learned you've got to follow that in order to be successful in the things that you're doing? And I'll just kind of open that up to any of you that might want to share. Kind of what keeps you grounded? What's that North Star that keeps you focused on what's important?
That I can be, and I can be daring, and I can be, you know, excited about, you know, our business and about life, and that it takes a lot to be a mother and to be a business owner and to be a wife and to be a daughter. My father's experience in dementia and early onset Alzheimer's, and to be able to balance all of that, balance a partnership, balance a home life is really important, and the fact that I can. And so that keeps me grounded, that I have people around me who support, you know, what I have going on in my life, and that I can't.
And also, you've heard it time and time again, but you got to love what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be excited about waking up and doing it every day. That's the biggest thing that pushes you through all of the challenges that you encounter.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think the vision is really, I think just the vision, whether it's for your own personal life or for what you're trying to accomplish, is really important to kind of stay present with it always. And, you know, for me personally, I have a very high bar for myself. So I'm like, you know, I'm a workaholic, and my life work balance is like a little skewed at the moment, but I kind of know that that needs to get a little bit more in check. But, you know, when it comes, like when we had the fire in our Buckhead store, everyone from our factory brought in their daughters and their husbands, and it was like a family affair coming to help. And, you know, it was like such a beautiful moment to see. I mean, my husband and will always be working in the store, working in the factory, packaging things. It's sort of like that is the important part. And, you know, everyone was there. We didn't ask anyone to do that, and they just willingly, and you kind of had that moment, and you were thankful for that moment. I think that's a really beautiful grounding.
Yeah. So all of you have some kind of brick and mortar store. Talk to our listeners a little bit about sort of the challenge and or that process of being able to find that location, making a decision about a location, and then having the financing to be able to move forward. I'll go to Colleen first, just because you have recently had to do some of that. Did you find any particular challenges as being a woman that factored
in? You know, I mean, I think the challenges come from, you know, it sounds very stereotypical, but I think people not really taking you as seriously. I mean, when you meet Kristen, like, she is super hardcore, and she will, you know, for, like, we have marble countertops, and she went to the quarry herself in Georgia to cut out the middleman so she could just source it by herself. Like, this is her personality. But I think that men have an interesting way of kind of dealing with that. So, you know, I think that they're either intimidated and react in one way. And I think when you're dealing with contractors and buildings and banks and so on, there's a little bit of that preconceived thing happening. You just have to, you know, act like it's not there. But the retail model is very difficult. I mean, finding funding was, you know, really, we have we had a third business partner, and he was, you know, instrumental in facilitating that. But, you know, the decisions of foot traffic and, you know, now we would have done things very differently. But, you know, foot traffic and how to build it out beautifully in the least amount of money that you can, you know, are not easy. And the biggest challenge for us, for sure, is staffing. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find, you know, great people who love being there as much as we love being there.
Yeah. So how did you find your space? I'm looking at Sharita and Patricia. How did you find your space and kind of be able to move into that retail world?
That's our biggest story. That was hilarious. We spent almost, we planned to be open 6 months earlier than we actually were, because it was really hard to find a space in, like, Colleen said, yeah. It was hard for people to take us serious. They were like, oh my goodness, really? Another cupcake shop? And so that was a barrier when it came for looking, you know, when we were looking for spaces. And then financing was a big problem. Being in education, you know, we don't make a lot of money. And so, you know, we had to rely on friends and family and things like that to help us come up with the funds to do so. So that was something that was really funny. And then with the city, it was interesting going through the paperwork process and all of that. I thought, you know, we were probably the 100th cupcake shop to open, but it felt like we were the first because no one knew anything as far as what we needed in order to get started. So that was a big hassle, going back and forth and delaying our opening date. So really all that retail stuff, you know, getting started was way more than we thought we'd ever experience. You know, we just thought, oh, we'll find the perfect space and oh, we'll open, you know, soon. But it really wasn't that. It was something at every turn, from getting the correct oven to making sure, you know, that we had exit signs that properly worked, you know. So all of that stuff, it's so many little details that you don't think will amount to something big, but they do.
Gina, how did you decide on your space on West Peachtree? You're on a pretty big thoroughfare, and like you said, you have the opportunity for walk-in traffic.
Yeah, we got really lucky. Martin scoured the web and really looked and looked. We started out in my basement of my house for the first couple months, and then we went to a small studio, like I said, in West Midtown that was very tucked away, and that's where we bought the first cooler and, what you know, started making investments in stainless steel tables and what have you. And then when we realized we needed to move and grow, that's when he started really, really looking online and visiting, and space in Atlanta is very expensive. You know, so it was a big leap to take, but we're glad we did it. And we were, you know, the timing was right. And then we bought a second cooler, and Martin is handy, so he did all the cosmetic improvements himself. While I was maintaining the business in the old space, he was working on the new space. So it worked out really well. He built this beautiful fountain, and it was so funny because he was like, I have a surprise for you. And I walk in, and there's this huge fountain. It looks like it's raining inside. And I was like, what is that? You know, and it's gorgeous. I would have never done that myself. So that's the nice thing about having a partner that's so different, is that they bring things to the table you wouldn't think of.
So for all of you, how do you keep up with the trends in sort of your niche so that you can continue to be innovative and you can continue to be something that is perhaps unique and different? So, Gina, how do you keep up with what's happening in the floral business?
The floral business, especially in Atlanta, is very, very competitive. There's a lot of shops. There's a lot of designers. And so we have a style that we've kind of called, you know, it's a European pavé style where we don't use a lot of greenery. You know, it's not that old school look, and I think a lot of people respond to that. And in terms of keeping up with trends, we look at blogs, we look at magazines, we look at some of the TV shows, design TV shows or what have you, and just try to really, you know, hear what brides are saying when they come in to talk to us about their weddings. A perfect example is I had a bride on Saturday who's getting married in a sports bar, but is draping it, so it's really like a exposed brick lofted, you know, environment. And these smaller venues are kind of on trend right now, I think, with people trying to be creative with their wedding budgets and what have you. So we just try to read and listen and talk to other professionals.
So are there things in the arena of chocolate that are new and evolving, or what kinds of things are you doing to stay ahead of the curve?
Well, we're a little bit different than other companies because we have to worry about like the supply and demand of like cacao beans as a commodity. So, you know, when you look at trending reports for the next 5 years, they're already saying that demand is going to far outweigh supply, which is scary for us as a small business who, you know, is not Godiva, who they don't even, well, Godiva's not a good example. Lindt, for example, who buy mass amounts of low-grade cocoa beans to make their chocolate. So we need to figure out, you know, for us, we kind of need to secure a source. And, you know, Kristen, we have been looking for a farm for, you know, since the beginning, because kind of securing the ability to grow our own cacao and at least for ourselves is very, very important. So we have, you know, a little bit of a different, you know, pricing, you know, our pricing, we're a luxury fine chocolate business. So our pricing is high, but we also pay, you know, a lot more for the beans than commodity pricing, which most people don't. So as commodity pricing raises, we're going to have to be paying more, and we can't pass that down to our customers. It's just sort of an internal, you know, sort of part of the internal mission. So we have, you know, economics. Economics is the scariest thing. And what we do is already so different. There is no other bean-to-bar chocolate company that makes truffles and makes everything that we do. We're the only one. So, you know, most people just make bars because they're, you know, they're easy. You can do a lot of them in a small amount of time. And we've chosen to do confections and other things. So there's sort of an inherent differentiating factor there. But, you know, the chocolate piece of it is concerning for the industry in general, but for smaller players like ourselves.
And I'm just curious, the sort of the genesis that said we are going to do that, those different things, was at the top of the show, you said Kristen is a, you know, sort of a chocolate nerd. Is that because of her sort of love and passion for
it? I mean, ultimately, I think ultimately it comes back to, you know, to the farmers. It just comes back. We have a goal of, you know, having a non-profit wing of this business where you're really giving back to a lot of these farmers who are barely making any money and who get taken advantage of from a lot of these larger companies. They don't even know what the chocolate ends up tasting like. They're selling their beans for very low prices, and they have families to, you know, to support, and it's you know, that kind of humanity piece of it is really, really important. And it's hard to find farmers who are going to grow really high quality beans. And for us to seek those people out, you need to provide incentive for them to not feel the need to go and grow cocaine instead, which, you know, happened in Peru with a lot of farmers. So it's just sort of, it's just a, you know, that care and attention to detail from the very beginning to the very end.
Yeah. So next week is Valentine's Day, and so I would imagine it's a busy time. We're glad that you were able to come this week to talk to us and kind of give our listeners, if they weren't thinking about what they're going to do for their significant other or their friends for Valentine's Day. So how does it change for you during this time in terms of demand and being able to meet that demand? So you've been open during a Valentine's season, and I'm looking to Sharita and Patricia. How is it different, and how do you address sort of the ramp up of we all need sweets on that day?
Well, it's the busiest day of the year for us as far as business, and you know we have to prepare, you know, months in advance. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to do as offers, packages, how to market in advance, what we need to do with training of the employees, and just prepping as well because, you know, the baking you have to do the day of. So it's pretty crazy, and you got to take a lot of energy pills.
It's a very strategic process. Mm-hmm. We've been talking at least for the last month about, you know, who's going to do what, you know, where they're going to be placed, how are we going to, you know, do things in advance, because we don't want people to have to wait in line for hours trying to get things. So we like our process to be very fluid. So, you know, that takes a lot of preparation. It really is very difficult, especially because we have to, you know, bake everything that day. And like she was saying, you don't want a lot of perishables. It's perishable. Mm-hmm. You don't want a lot of things left behind. Mm-hmm. So that's very important that we don't waste.
Gina, how do you, you know, flowers, it's my understanding that, again, this is sort of the biggest day in that industry. Mm-hmm. How do you keep up?
Well, we've been planning as well, and we differentiate ourselves by having, you know, beautiful packaging. We have specialty boxes and tissue paper and bags that we're planning to present the flowers in. I'm really grateful because we have an excellent delivery driver scheduled for the day. I'm usually the one making a lot of the deliveries, so I'm very happy to have some extra help that day. And then we also are promoting ourselves very widely among the concierge at all the different hotels, concierge at office buildings and condo buildings. So we do expect a lot of calls and a lot of walk-in, but at a certain point, probably 6 p.m., we'll be sold out, and that'll be it. I mean, you can only estimate and do what you can do and hope for the best of being sold out, and that's what we hope to do.
Yeah. So you also have, I'm looking to Colleen, you do classes or you do where people can come in, and do you do a lot of that around the Valentine
holiday? We do. Well, Valentine's is, obviously we're at seasonal, so it's the most important week, and this year being on a Friday, it's really that whole week. I mean, Thursday and Friday will be insane, but I think that whole week will be crazy. But we've done classes for 5 years now. So, we invite people into the factory and they get to kind of create their own chocolate. So we give them piping bags of chocolate with lots of different toppings, take them through the bean to bar process. In this factory, it's a little bit more exciting even because it's the first time we're opening it up to the public. And there's really, you can really get a sense of a factory tour. In Inman Park, it was so tiny that the tour was over in like 2 minutes. So, this one is a little bit more, it's going to be a little bit more relaxed, and they'll have more time to create and, have some macaron and just enjoy themselves with some beautiful music playing. So, we look forward to it. I mean, one of our mantras is give love, give chocolate. So for us, the Valentine's Day thing is like what we would love every day. But we definitely prep like the others in advance. And this year, the Buckhead Fire has kind of thrown our plans a little bit off kilter and, forced us to adjust our numbers to be able to try to drive some of all that business we're losing from Buckhead to the other store. But, it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah. So if I were to ask all of you, what's the biggest surprise that you've had about yourself as an entrepreneur? Something that you just would not have thought would have been.
For me, it's the this is Gina. It's the stamina. I mean, I'm amazed at how much I can get done in a day. I mean, I am really, really running hard. And I am single. I don't have kids, but I do have a dog, but which forces me to go home and let her out. But it's pretty grueling sometimes to go from the desk where you're trying to do marketing to proposals, emailing, correspondence, to taking the orders and delivery and going to the wholesaler and buying the product. And we all have our own versions of what I'm talking about. So it's very demanding on a daily basis. So that motivation that comes from within and that stamina is really, really surprising sometimes.
I definitely agree with Gina. Being in a school, we didn't realize. We realized how important they were, but you see how key the secretary is and the custodians are and the cafeteria work. You see how everybody is really instrumental to the whole picture. And when it's just you and the person you're working with, you realize how hard that is, and that you are now the secretary and the custodian. And, and you're the delivery driver and all of those things. So you're right. I think that is the biggest thing, the fact that we get time to sleep.
Totally agree. Yeah. Wearing many hats becomes a really fun game.
So what would you tell our listeners about starting a business? If you could give them one or two tips that you learned either because it worked really well or because you really had a challenge, what would be a key takeaway?
Don't give up. I mean, if it really is your passion and you really want to start something, just don't give up, because you will get knocked down and back and pushed to the side. But just don't give up. Just realize that you can do it and keep pushing forward.
And ensure that you create a business plan, because you do have a vision, but you have to just put it out on paper and see it in detail so you know where you want to go and move forward. And, you may sway from exactly what is on the business plan, but, you keep moving, but make sure you have a plan in advance.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to be fearless, for sure, and be very patient, because it will test your patience, and both are very important.
I would say definitely seek mentorship. Work for somebody in the industry you want to be in first, so you learn firsthand. And then from that mentorship, seek guidance, however it may be from, for example, I talked to, she calls herself a life coach, mm-hmm. and I talk to her frequently, and she's given me excellent advice and excellent guidance on how to really keep it going.
Yeah. So I've talked a little bit or asked you a couple questions about the whole Valentine's Day. So tell our listeners a little bit about special things that maybe you are doing for Valentine's. So again, to get kind of some of those ideas flowing for our listeners as hopefully they'll come to your establishments after the programming. So what are you doing special?
You know, we're offering love packages. So you get a 4, 6, or a dozen box with custom Valentine's-related toppers that are edible, gift-wrapped with, you know, a special note that you can give to your loved one. So you definitely can indulge in love Great. For Valentine's Day.
We have a collection that's called the Sweet and Spicy Box of Love. And it is a beautiful, beautiful collection that's all hand-painted with some flavors that we don't normally do. That's not part of our general truffle collection. That's beautifully wrapped. We also have our Aztec Aphrodisiac Bar, which is part of our normal collection, but obviously tends to do a lot better in February. And it does exactly what it says, and we've had many accounts. And then the classes. You know, and people, you know, people like to come in and grab, and they also like to take the time to customize what they like. And we, you know, we want to offer the, you know, the services for both. So
yeah, and so you mentioned the classes. Are they all full? If somebody,
they're still open. They are being held the 13th, 14th, and 15th at 6 p.m. And then we have a children's specific class on Saturday afternoon at 3.
Okay, Gina. Nice.
Well, we are offering a wide range of price ranges because I've often hear about our competitors being the farmer's market or the grocery store, what have you. So, you know, we offer high-quality design, but we're offering a wide variety of pricing. And we offer for people to come by, pick up what you need, or we can deliver it. So I think that helps a lot with everybody's busy life. You know, we can deliver it for you.
Yeah, so, and I'll start with you, Gina. So for our listeners that their interest has been piqued from all that they've learned from our conversation, how do they find you? Where are you located? All those kinds of good contact information.
Okay, well, Floral Matters is located in the heart of Midtown on West Peachtree and 14th Street at 1155 West Peachtree. We have parking in the rear. And our website is yourfloralmatters.com. Our Facebook page is actually more active than our website. So our Facebook page is Floral Matters. And we have an Instagram page as well, Floral Matters. And so we will be having extended hours on Valentine's Day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
You can find all of our information on our website as well, which is cacaoatlanta.com, C-A-C-A-O, Atlanta. We do have a store in Virginia Highland, and we are also going to be delivering. We have a great courier service that we work with, and you can order online if you don't want to brave the masses of the store.
We are located just south of East Atlanta at 749 Moreland Avenue. We're actually in the Ormwood Square Plaza, at which on the corner you'll see a little Ozio's Pizza and Pasta. So we're in there, and we have a parking lot as well. Our website is www.cupcakeindulgers.com. And we have our Facebook page. It's the same, Cupcake Indulgers. And our Twitter is Indulgers. So check us out there, and our website is, as always, you can contact us there.
Yeah, so I'm going to close today with the question that I ask all of my guests. And so think back to your 20-year-old self. And if you were going to give your 20-year-old self some advice, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Wow.
Tough question.
I know, I had to laugh.
What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
I would say Everything you do from this point forward does matter despite what you think. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Wow, that's a toughie. What would I tell my 20-year-old self? To stay strong, that you're right, everything matters, and take your time. I did everything really fast. I was married at 21. Mm-hmm. So I was moving really fast. So, yeah, just take your time.
And don't take
everything doesn't have to be in lightning speed.
And no opportunities to be taken for granted, even though it may not seem very serious at the time.
Okay.
And you can impact the world one person at a time. Be nice and believe in karma.
Just believe in yourself. Yeah, that'll take you far.
Great. Well, this has been a fun show. I am hoping all of you all have a great Valentine's. What happens to those who are in the industry that make sure that our Valentine's Day is wonderful? I just thought about that. How do you all spot
wine? Lots of wine.
Do you even celebrate it on that day?
Okay. No, we do it the next day because there's just no way. At the end of the 14th, I will be exhausted.
Yeah, I sit with a little glass of bourbon in quiet and then just take it all in. It's, you know, Valentine's is more about other people.
Right. So. We have a wedding on the 15th, so I will be right back to work.
Okay. Well, and that's a good thing. There's no complaint there. Well, you've been a great set of guests. So join us next week here at 10 o'clock when we have another show, Growth Matters, where we talk about all things growth, because
growth matters.